come together.
Thanks for listening to the KC Morning Show.
Yo, it's Hartzell. Before we get going, I actually wanted to introduce you to a friend of mine. I would actually say that she's become family in the last few months. Her name is Banya Jabril. She is brilliant. She's 10 years old. She's a Palestinian girl from Gaza, and her family has been displaced due to the occupation and Israel's genocide. Her family has been displaced. They're now in Egypt. She does some amazing, beautiful portraits of folks who advocate for a free Palestine. I'm going to go ahead and drop the link to her GoFundMe. It's verified. I have donated. I can confirm this is legit. And I think we have a moral responsibility to take care of our folks. We got us. We have to have us, right? So we'll start the show on the other side of this. But first, my friends, meet Banya.
Banya spends hours with her father expressing her love and appreciation for pro-Palestinian figures through her paintings. After leaving Gaza for Egypt last May, following multiple forced displacements from her home in the Sheikh Ridwan neighborhood, she now finds solace and hope in her digital art, which she uses to convey a message to the world. As her dreams were crushed like those of all children in Gaza, she hopes her paintings will inspire more people to stand in solidarity with Gaza and help in the genocide.
Drawing is my passion. It makes me so happy and gives me hope. My dad is my hero because he helped me how to draw, and my dad and I draw people support Palestine.
Banya's family is now stuck in Egypt after losing everything in Gaza. They believe their daughter's future has been destroyed, but insist on supporting her in every way they can while hoping to set foot in their homeland once again.
During the war on Gaza, I lost my work. When we were forced to leave Gaza, I had to use my and my daughter's talent in drawing, which turned to be our source of income to some extent. I'm always trying to support my daughter and help and motivate her to draw, because she may represent the Palestine cause on the local and world stage through her quill and crayons.
Like all children in Gaza, Banya once had a life brimming with joy and love, as she dreamed of becoming a famous artist one day. She was fortunate to escape the fate of the 17,000 children who were killed in Gaza. Her talent blossomed in the besieged territory, but Israel destroyed her home, her school, and all her dreams.
Pain inspires art and talent. Banya is a gifted young artist who at the age of 10 uses her remarkable art to inspire the world to support Gaza. Her message, like that of all children in the worst stricken territory, is a plea for peace, a dream she wishes the world will help make a reality. Abu Bakr Abid, Dar El Balah, Gaza, Press TV.
Good morning, everyone.
What is today?
Today is Monday.
And a big welcome back.
Got three words for you.
I got three words for you.
New Year's resolution.
How's it going so far?
Yeah, not so much.
Well, so much for my New Year's resolution.
What? You're giving up already?
No, see, I gave up coffee for New Year's.
I really think I might kill someone.
In that case,
we need coffee, stat.
It's showtime.
Everything's running smoothly.
Yo, what is going on, Kansas City? My name's Hartzell, and this right here, it is your KC Morning Show. What's the word, Kansas City? On the show today, we kick it with the homie Carrington Harrison of 96.5 The Fan. Not sports, though. We're talking movies. Gonna play some flicks on a Friday. Bad movies, worst opinions. That is the name of CDOT's pod. I hopped on and we talked about Tomb Raider. Yeah. Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider. Lara Croft. Tomb Raider. Let me put some respect on that. Rates, reviews, subscribe, do that thing you do. Kansas City. My friends, it is a good day to be a Kansas Citian. Absolutely. We will see you in the morning. Bye.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it?
The KC Morning Show.
Angelina Jolie.
Is Lara Croft.
Time to save the universe?
Absolutely.
Tomb Raider.
Welcome into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule of the podcast is that we must watch a movie that is rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. We are very happy to welcome back Hartzell Gray to the show today as we review Lara Croft Tomb Raider, which came out in 2001. Hartzell, you and I are on completely different sides of this film. Don't worry, we'll get to it here coming up in a bit. Let's get to the particulars. This movie was released June 15th of 2001. This movie has a runtime of 100 minutes, has a budget of $115 million, and did $274.7 million at the box office. People couldn't get enough of Lara Croft.
I cannot wait to break this down with you, because this is the first movie we've done where I came in thinking completely wrong as of what I thought you were going to think about this movie. So I'm excited to see, I'm excited to break that down. I am shocked we don't see eye to eye.
Yeah, no, this movie had a 5.8 on IMDb and it has over 220,000 reviews. The box office for June 15th, Tomb Raider debuted at $47 million at number one. Atlantis, The Lost Empire is at number two. Shrek is at number three. That was in its fifth week. Swordfish is number four. Little Holly Berry, little titty action in that movie. It was Swordfish. And Pearl Harbor is fifth that week. That is your box office for June of 2001. This movie to me, before we get into the plot of this movie to me highlights what we have seen highlight do for comic book. They have been unable to do for video game stars. If you try to make a live action video game movie, it has not worked. Tomb Raider, in my opinion, did not work. They tried to do Doom, you remember, with The Rock. That was another live action video game movie. It didn't work. For whatever reason, they were able to figure out how to get Captain America on the screen or Ant-Man on the screen or the Hulk. They couldn't figure out how to get Lara Croft on the screen to me.
And I don't even know, has there been one that's worked?
I think they had to start to get more cartoony. I mean, in present day, Sonic worked.
Gotcha.
Super Mario Brothers, they made that into a movie.
Gotcha.
That worked. But when they tried to make Super Mario a live action movie back when we were kids,
people hated it.
It didn't work. Mortal Kombat didn't work. Street Fighter didn't work.
Carrington, you got like a whole thesis ready for why video game movies didn't work before we double down on cartoon. I would read that.
Maybe my expectation for this movie was, have you seen Colombiana with Zoe Saldana?
No, I have not seen that. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I haven't seen
that. That's what I thought this movie was going to be. I thought this movie was going to be Angelina Jolie's version of Indiana Jones. That's not anywhere close to what I think this movie accomplished.
See, I feel like it is so much closer to what you just said than the Colombiana. Like, honestly, I think that, well, we'll break it down. I thought, especially the very first scene, bro, this is Indiana Jones. I mean, we're coming out of the gate hot. We got a nice chase type of scene, you know, adventure action. This screamed like, you know, how every Star Wars movie has like that big action scene. This is like the template for that late 90s, early 2000 action adventure. Like, that's why I'm so surprised it didn't work for you, because it had all the tropes of what should have worked for you. And I'm surprised it didn't.
So Angelina Jolie is Lara Croft. She is the star of this movie. Ian Glenn is Manfred Powell. He is the leader of the Illuminati. John Voight is Lara Croft's father in the movie and also in real life. Mm-hmm. Daniel Craig is in this movie. He is Alex West. And Noah Taylor is Bryce. Our movie begins with Lara Croft dropping in an abandoned temple to recapture some kind of artifact. Well, she's got company in front of some kind of robot spider machine thing that she takes care of with dual pistols, which we learn becomes a staple of this movie. Also some nifty moves, but we find out that this is a training sequence. I needed more of this scene in the movie. I needed more Angelina Jolie just being a badass, being Lara Croft, shooting things, running around.
This is great, wasn't it?
There was way too many gaps in between Lara Croft doing Lara Croft shit for me in this movie.
Okay, that's fair, but also like just impartially as a kickoff point,
when this scene was in the middle of being great, you know, like, did you think, oh, okay, I'm going to be into this?
I think the first 15 minutes sets you up for thinking that this is going to be an incredible ride, and I don't think that's what we got. It was, okay. I think, where the movie struggled, and it sounds funny, is once they had to start telling you a story, the movie starts to fall off. Think about it in the first 15 minutes. We get the action scene with her shooting the spider robots thing. We meet her. That's her dope. Team is fun. Bryce is fun. The relationship she has with her staff is really fun. We then get the shower scene, which you get Angelina Jolie to deliver that scene. She is an incredibly gorgeous woman.
Mm-hmm.
Then once they had to start telling you what the movie was about and create some kind of plot, the movie falls off a cliff, my brother. It falls off a cliff.
Continue on, Carrington. Continue.
So after a tough day at the gym, you know you got to take a shower. This scene appears to only appease horny teenagers. It did.
I'm only trying to turn you into a lady. And a lady should be modest.
Yes, a lady should be modest.
So we meet some gentleman who is standing before a council. We learn that this is the Illuminati. A window is opening up to
retrieve... You know what? No, pause for a second. Okay. You know what? Here's why I think that actually was important. That this movie is a strong female protagonist lead who doesn't care. Like, how many movies, Carrington, have you seen with the shirtless dudes, every beach montage? No, this is Angelina Jolie. This is Laura Croft letting the entire audience know that she knows you're watching her and she don't care, because she's a strong, independent archaeologist, don't need no man.
I don't mind that part. And maybe this is where, because my entire time I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking of, we recently did Triple X with Vin Diesel.
Right.
You know what Triple X is? Vin Diesel. Go be Vin Diesel. We're going to give you cars. We're going to give you attractive women. We're going to blow stuff up. There are going to be some guns. There are going to be some dangers. Triple X is, if you like Vin Diesel, you will like this movie.
For sure.
You just didn't let Laura Croft run here. It should have been more temples. Should have been more adventure. Should have been more danger. I just needed more Laura Croft in this movie than what they end up giving me.
That's fair.
So there's a council that is happening. We learn that a window is opening up to retrieve two halves of a triangle. And if the opportunity is missed, it will close for another 5,000 years. They ask him if he's ready. He is not ready. Laura decides to take a stop at her father's grave to pay his respects. We learn that in 1 week, all of the planets will align for a complete solar eclipse. And that is the significance of the 5,000 year date. Our girl is having a tough time sleeping, which could be one of the biggest understatements made on the show. And her dream reveals a hidden room with a chest inside that contains a clock. This is a special clock that starts ticking during the first alignment of the planets. Bryce tries to open the clock with grace and precision. Laura Croft says, fuck all that noise, and breaks it open with the hammer. Inside the clock, we spot the all-seeing eye. I wanted this movie to give Bryce a little bit more of a purpose.
Yeah, a little bit more shine.
A little bit more of a purpose. Like, I actually thought Bryce
good character,
was a very funny character.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, he maybe could have stepped in and done some of the action or had some kind of secret gadget kind of thing. I actually don't think this movie used Bryce, who was a good character. I don't think they used him enough.
That first scene with the clock, that was legitimately pretty funny. We'll save that for the end. But yeah, I will circle back to that thought on Bryce.
So Laura pulls up to an auction where we see a clock go for £2.5 million. We meet Alex, and the two have some history. He a thief. Alex has some old professor figure, Mr. Wilson, investigate the clock.
How about the hair on James Bond, huh?
Daniel Craig.
That 01 Daniel Craig.
It was crazy because when I first saw him, I was like, yo, is that Daniel Craig? Then I kept looking. I was like, that is Daniel Craig.
You know, the big reveal for the whole movie was that Daniel Craig was in this.
Funny enough, when I first saw him, I was like, I think he's in Knives Out. That was the first one. But I was like, oh, that's James Bond. So Alex has some older professor figure, Mr. Wilson, investigate the clock, but he can't be of any help. But he does pass on the information to someone who can, a lawyer named Manfred Powell. Something's off about Mr. Powell. I can sense it. So does Laura.
His hair's too slick, man.
She only takes pictures of the clock to the meet. She don't trust him. Mm-mm. Metro Boomin don't trust him. Laura Croft don't trust him. Nobody trusted Manfred. You could tell Manfred was seedy in this whole time.
He had that all black on. It was a slick outfit, you know. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious from jump. But, you know, I'm still involved. Like, the plot. Okay, did you get lost at all? Are you still good up until this point?
I started to kind of realize pretty early on. I will admit, I looked at my clock and it was like 20, 25 minutes in. And I'm like, bro, what's going on in this movie? Like, bro, when is Laura going to get back to shooting and killing stuff here?
The all-seeing eye kind of felt a little bit out of left field.
Yeah.
I actually do this rewatch. I did actually start cackling out loud because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Of course. Why not? It works.
So Laura starts practicing for Cirque du Soleil as some goons are set up to run up in the crib trying to steal away the artifact despite a valiant effort from our girl.
Are you armed?
After fashion? Yes.
All right. Three bad guys. Number one standing by the Aston Martin. Right.
The robbers are successful in their heist. This is my favorite action scene in the whole movie.
Yeah, it was great, right?
With her jumping up and down and them doing it. You don't really see movies kind of take the fight to the air in this way. I don't really know why she was doing that and why, but I didn't really need an answer to see Angelina Jolie jump up and down in this.
No,
maybe in the video game that stands out. I only played the demo. Remember back in the day, the little PlayStation demos? You would run through that bad boy. That was the only thing I played in this
game.
And
I got no notes. I thought it was a perfect scene. But I also do really appreciate, and this is maybe just, you know, because it was in 01, all the sets were real sets, you know? Like, it really did add a lot to, like, the whole, the kick-ass of it all. I thought the stunts were great, and yeah, I think this could be maybe the best sequence of the whole thing.
Yeah, and then when they started to get to CGI, it got bad.
It got tough.
When they started to get to the CGI, it got real
rough. I wanted it to hold up.
It did not hold up at all. It just goes to show you how quickly technology, like, it's not like this movie was, you know, this wasn't an 80s action movie that they tried to do this, but boy, when they got to the computers and the CGI,
it's not Lucas.
It fell flat, on my opinion.
Not George Lucas.
The following day, Laura gets a letter from the UPS man, and it's a letter written from her deceased father. The letter contains a book inside of her home, which contains another letter and another message from her father. The letter contains more information about the all-seeing eye and the triangle. The message is simple. Destroy both pieces of the triangle to save the world.
Yes. This is the most video game line of the whole movie, right? You know, you had to get another clue.
You had to put the book inside of the book inside of the book to tell us what we all know.
Yes.
Hey, this thing is bad. This thing is bad.
It's very layered, you know, the world coming to an end.
We are now off in a distant land to fulfill the mission, and Laura spots Mr. Powell and Alex West. They are running some kind of concentration camp for workers to help open up the tomb. Laura falls into the same tomb while playing hide and seek with some weird kid. Was that kid real or was that a vision?
I'm thinking it was a vision.
She had a couple of these visions over the course of the movie.
Completely unexplained.
Do other people see you talking? Like, whenever you have these visions and you're just sitting there, is it like when you see somebody on the side of the road and they're just having a full-on conversation with an imaginary person? I'm like, Laura, who are you talking to?
Absolutely true.
She does this later in the movie, remember, because it's that little girl, and then it turns into a flower when she turns her head.
And because it's Laura Croft and Angelina Jolie, we don't ask questions.
So the men are getting everything set up for the realignment until Miss Croft tells them that their plane is going to be wrong. The clock is ticking. So it's either do it their way or trust her gut. Well, they go with her, and she's correct. Once a piece of the triangle emerges, Laura steals it from Dr. Powell. Oh, no, an army of stone warriors has awakened, and Laura and the army must fight them off. Laura escapes from the tomb after a boss fight against the ancient stone man.
Big boss fight at the end of the level.
I think this could have been the best scene in the movie, and maybe it would have if I had seen this movie in 2001. Mm-hmm. Today, seeing those rock claymation figures, nah, bro.
It was like Nintendo 64 graphics, man.
That's what it was like.
You would have loved this in 01.
I've no idea.
You would have loved this in 01. I didn't think it was so bad, but man, yeah, it doesn't hold up great.
You got to think, in 01, I was in 7th, 8th grade because I graduated high school in 06. So, I mean, I wasn't getting dropped off at the mall to go. I never played Tomb
Raider before. I literally did get dropped off at the mall in 4th grade when this came out, and we literally did that.
I mean, I definitely understand how it did well. Tomb Raider was a very successful video game franchise.
It launched the Sega Genesis.
And when you cast a legitimate
Dreamcast.
An A-list actress to play Lara Croft like Angelina Jolie, you know, you're going to get a lot of people excited and curious.
This is like some of the peak Angelina Jolie.
After exiting the tomb, Lara Croft and Mr. West have a mini standoff where she takes a dive into a waterfall. Mm-hmm. She lands in a village and makes a call to Dr. Powell and back home to Bryce. We are 66 hours away until the final alignment. Lara replenishes her health meter down at the monastery. She replenishes it with some flat tummy tea and a chat with the monk. Dr. Powell and Lara meet up to discuss the triangle piece she is in possession of. We continue to learn about its true powers. If Lara returns it, she will be able to reunite with her deceased father.
Yep. Now she got some stakes in the game.
I know I'm not supposed to like Dr. Powell. He was a great villain in
Fantastic.
This stuff. He was a great villain.
Fantastic.
If
yes.
you are going
and
to
the name all of it.
If you're going to cast a shady scientist figure, that's the guy you pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the guy you pick. Great casting here on Dr. Powell.
It was perfect. Again, up until this point, maybe right before the claymation, it's a good movie, Carrington.
Okay. So Miss Croft shows up to meet with the ops with the half triangle of life. And as they head to the ruined city, we land in Russia where the group buys some snow dogs and Lara has a vision with a little native girl who tells her to watch out ahead. Inside the cave, Lara Croft does some nifty maneuvering to position herself to get inside the structure containing the second triangle piece. Dr. Powell is killing everybody. First, he kills the OG Illuminati man. Mm-hmm. Second, Mr. West, but the triangle still doesn't work, not until Lara finds the missing piece to fully activate its power. The triangle allows her to speak to her father once more.
Why can't you stay?
We can't change time.
But time is stolen from us. And it's not fair.
No, it's not fair. But you have stolen time itself. And you must give it back. You must destroy the triangle.
Way too many conversations with John Voight. Put John Voight in the movie or don't. Damn, how many times you gonna go back to this?
I don't know if this is like maybe a favor because, you know, he did one for his daughter. They're not friends now. You know, it's like in the credits of a TV show where they have the and star, he was the and starring John Voight.
Man, she went back to go see The Ancestors more than Chadwick Boseman in Black Panther. Chadwick only did it one time in the movie. Chadwick went back one time like, Pops, hey, why'd you do this? Hey, bro. Hey, come on, man, go back. We gotta save the world, man. You know, gotta save Wakanda. Come on now.
I was just as moved in this scene as I was in Wakanda. So, you know, they were both very impactful.
Yeah, they did it 8 times in this movie. So the triangle allows her to speak with her father once more about the Illuminati. But her father tells her that we can't change time, but she can, and uses it to reverse time to save James Bond by turning the knife on Powell and destroying the triangle.
That was a tough scene to watch, man. That was, you know,
where she grabbed the knife and turned the knife.
I will do any like bang bang shoot 'em up. I can even do like the Walking Dead stuff, but man, you grab a knife, something with the swords. I just can't do that.
This movie had a $115 million budget. They probably spent half of it in the final 30 minutes of the
Absolutely.
Movie. Yeah, no, they blew through the budget in the back half of this movie. As Powell is dying, he shows Lara a watch from her father and tells a lie to her about how her father died. Now the two have a fist fight as the tomb is coming down to settle this thing once and for all. She karate-sizes his ass and Roddy chops him to death in the throat, retrieves
dope.
The piece, and leaves
dope.
The tomb in the nick of time.
That was great.
She had hands, bro.
It
she
was great.
Her, what? Lara, fuck him up. That's what she did. That's what she did. She was in her, what?
Oh, that's who he is. He's Jorah from Game of Thrones.
Look at you.
It just popped. That's who he is.
What a pull by you.
Ah, okay. My bad. Yeah, sorry. It just came to me. Yes, I thought this was great. She not like any of us. Loved it. This was great.
She pays a final trip to her father's grave and another training session with Bryce's robot and her Sunday best ending the movie.
What a callback. It's poetry. You know, it rhymes.
It really was good. And then she grabs the two guns and she looked like she ready to do some damage there at the end of the movie.
I'll see you in the sequel.
That concludes Lara Croft Tomb Raider. She did look good at the end.
This movie looked good at the end. Did you just change your mind as we did this recap? I feel like maybe in explaining it, I think it's even jumped up a little bit.
No, your excitement for the movie has changed my opinion about the movie. I did not like this movie.
Ah, you have to tell me why, because this is like the Carrington template. You had the titted woman. You had action. You had adventure. You had like the straight man dork. You had the evil villain with the slick back. This is C.101.
I agree. All of the pieces were there, I think, to make a good, fun action movie. I don't think they made a good, fun action movie.
What wasn't fun about it? What would you add for the fun action?
I think the
more scenes, more.
I don't care at all about these triangles, the Illuminati at all. Like the plot, the vehicle of this movie, I just think was really, really bad. And I think it was too many gaps in between the fun stuff and the action. We would go 20, 25 minutes and she hasn't shot anybody or killed. Like they tried so hard to create a story that none of us really care about. I want to see Lara Croft be Lara Croft. I don't care about Dr. Powell and Daniel Craig in 2001. I paid my $6 to see Angelina Jolie. Give us more Angelina Jolie. Have her on some motorcycles. Have her doing some cool stuff. I just thought there was more they could have done in this movie with her character. I was not a fan of this
movie. As someone who reads porn for the articles, I thought that the exposition was great. I actually do like the video game of it all, you know, like the broken triangle that combines to align all. I kind of like all that. It didn't lose me, but maybe because I do come from that video game world. But I thought this was nails.
Okay, so
remind me again, what was the rating for this movie?
This is a...
Was it a 5.9?
This movie is a 5.8 on IMDb.
5.8, okay.
So let's get through some of the casting what ifs. I think the thing this movie nails the most is you could not have cast a better person to play Lara Croft than Angelina Jolie.
No notes.
In that first scene where she has the all black, the iconic look with the dual pistols, mm-hmm. with the holsters on the side,
short.
That is exactly what Lara Croft looks like. If you played this game on PlayStation and you envision that as a real life human being, envision Angelina Jolie, beautiful woman who's a badass.
Yes.
That's who Lara Croft is. And there weren't that many kind of video game characters at that time. Like, she mm-hmm. really is a pioneer. Like, you could argue Metroid, but Metroid's in a suit the whole time. Like, you don't see Metroid as this sexy heroine figure the way that you see Lara Croft. The casting was perfect.
1,000%.
Some of the names that they have for this was Jennifer Love Hewitt, Jennifer Lopez, Elizabeth Hurley, Ashley Judd, Sandra Bullock, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Catherine Zeta-Jones would have been a good one.
The only one I've heard so far where I'm like, I would do that.
Would have been a good one. Yep. Diane Lane, Demi Moore, Denise Richard. Yo, Diane Lane as Lara Croft would have been bad.
Honestly, the last
Sandra Bullock's not even a good one. Not for this role. She's incredible. She would not have been good as Lara Croft.
I don't think J-Lo would be good as Lara Croft.
I agree with you.
No, thanks.
The only two I think that makes sense is who you actually picked in Angelina Jolie and Catherine. Catherine Zeta-Jones would have smoked this role, too.
Would have been absolutely fantastic.
Listen to this. The casting of Angelina Jolie was controversial among many fans of the Tomb Raider series who felt she wasn't physically appropriate enough to play the large-breasted character.
Stop!
Yeah. Yo, you can't be Lara Croft. Your titties ain't big enough.
See, that's the thing. You know, Lara Croft, pioneer in the video game world, but also was designed by a man. Let's not forget.
That's hilarious to me. Hey, Laura, I mean, you fine and all, but your titties ain't not big enough for you to be Lara Croft. It's crazy. So they actually had to put a little bit of padding in there for Lara Croft's character. A little bit to make her one cup size fuller so you can get the full effect.
Because I was so throwing off.
What was you gonna do with J-Lo then?
I couldn't suspend my disbelief, you know? Like,
Diane Lane was racked up. I must have been paying attention in Hardball. I wasn't paying attention.
Now I'm just thinking again, but that Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No, Catherine Zeta-Jones would have been good, though. You ain't lied here.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
So,
Selma Hayek would have been, I think, also good.
Would have been a good one. Let me give you a couple notes of this movie. This, at the time, had an opening record for a movie that had a female protagonist, so this was the best opening week for that. It also had the record for a video game adaptation up to that point.
Just like
for first week two, Pokemon, the first movie you had was the biggest video game movie up to that point.
But also a cartoon, like you said earlier.
Yeah, no. It was definitely a commercial success. Let me get you the Rotten Tomatoes. This movie on Rotten Tomatoes got a 20%, and the average rating on the site is 4 out of 10. The site's consensus, quote, Angelina Jolie is perfect for the role, but she can't even save the movie from a senseless plot and action sequences with no emotional impact. Of Variety, quote, the film has a distinction of being a major motion picture that's far less imaginative and quite a bit more stupid than the interactive game it's based on. Listen to this, Hartzell. You won't believe this. Roger Ebert liked the movie.
My guy.
He gave it 3 out of 4 stars and said that Lara Croft Tomb Raider elevates goofiness to an art form. Here is a movie that is so monumentally silly yet wondrous to look at that only a curl could find fault.
You know, I think that's perfect. In fact, in this podcast right there, I think that's well said.
You know what Roger Ebert just said there? Titties! That's what he just said. So wondrous to look at. The only thing wondrous to look at was Angelina Jolie, my boy.
He loved the set pieces.
You got mesmerized by them dumps like a truck. Trust. That's what you got mesmerized by, Roger. I get it. I completely understand. All right, Hartzell. We do this a little bit different now. What do you think this movie got right?
What I think it got right? Honestly, I think it got everything right. I loved it. We said it a little bit earlier what we think it missed, so I'll wait for you to ask that one. But I honestly, it nailed it for me. Like, you know, if you're coming in, I really like playing that game. Not very good at it, but I love the game. It is that video game personified. I thought they did a great job. But see, I didn't come into it trying to watch an action adventure starring Angelina Jolie. I came in wanting to watch a Tomb Raider movie.
I'm going to give you the two things I think got right. We talked about the casting. Angelina Jolie, a perfect Lara Croft. And I did like the Cirque du Soleil scene where she's jumping up and down and just the poetry of it. And all of a sudden she's fighting them and she's running on the walls there. That felt very video game to me. And I really liked that scene of it.
You know what? Daniel Craig also, I think, actually was pretty good in this.
Daniel Craig is just one of those people. You know how Glenn Powell is? Like when you see him on a screen, you're like, that's a movie star.
Yep.
When you see Daniel Craig on the screen, you're like, it just works.
He just gets it, whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, he's just a really, really just, he commands a presence on the screen that not many people do.
Yeah, it was great.
I've given you what I think this movie got wrong. Mm-hmm. What do you think this movie got wrong?
The straight man, comedic relief friend.
Bryce,
yeah. Yes. I would have liked Bryce to double down on the Bryce of it all. That, you know, because we know what that character is supposed to be. Double down on that. That's about it.
This movie was rated a 5.8 on IMDb. Is that too much, too little, or just right?
That is tragically too low. Even now, I can tell you that is too low. A 5.8? No way. It, at a bare minimum, should be a 6. It should not be allowed to be reviewed on this show because it should be higher than that.
I think this movie is rated...
Okay, fine. I'll meet in the middle. 6.5.
I think this movie is rated way too high.
Oh, my God.
This movie is rated way too high. This movie is between a 5.0 and 5.2, in my opinion. This movie's not good.
No.
This movie's not good. I think it's Roger Ebert. I just quoted this in our last podcast. If you're going to make a bad movie, at least make it fun. I did not have fun watching this movie.
What do you mean? What do you mean when you didn't have fun? Like, you just felt like you had to, it was a slog to get through?
I thought it was a slog to get through. I thought it took way too long to get the plot going.
It was an hour 30.
It was, I thought it took too long. I think we had too many trips to go see John Voight. We had too many visions in this movie. It wasn't enough Tomb Raider. It wasn't enough Tomb in Tomb Raider for me.
General.
It wasn't enough Tomb in this movie for me. No, this movie's a 5.0, a 5.2. I don't have any interest in watching the sequel. I would not stop on this movie.
I don't mean to cut you off. But on the screen, we're watching actual Lara Croft, and I did forget. Those titties are huge. Those are incredible.
She wasn't racked up enough. Yeah, man, 5.0, 5.2 is what I'm giving Tomb Raider.
That's too low. I thought you would do 5.5. 5.6. I didn't think you would go to a 5.
Yeah, no, it wasn't good. This movie is available on Paramount Plus. If you would like to watch this movie, you can watch it on Paramount Plus.
It was tough. This was a tough one to find.
It's funny because when I started watching it the first time, it was on AMC Plus. Uh-huh. And then when I had to finish the movie, it was like, wait, it's not on there anymore. Oh, it's on Paramount Plus now. So right now, as of when this goes out, you will be able to watch this movie on Paramount Plus if you want to go back. I would advise you to just go on YouTube and watch the one shower scene. That's all you need to see.
It's a decent sum up, honestly. Yeah, I mean, you can get the gist of it from that one scene.
What do you think Angelina Jolie's movie is? Like, if I show you a picture of Angelina Jolie and I say, name her movie, the same way if I showed you Gabrielle Union, you would say, oh, bring it on. That's her movie. What's Angelina Jolie's movie?
I loved her in The Tourist. It's got Johnny Depp in it. It's got, like, an incredible reveal. I personally love that one, but I know, like, as far as, like, you know, the box office, you know, the one with her and Brad Pitt.
I think it's between Wanted, and I also think it's between Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Wanted is just a phenomenal fucking flick.
No, well,
that is the correct answer.
You know what Wanted is from start to finish? Action.
Yes.
That's what it is. From start to finish. Wanted is a very, very good movie.
Angelina Jolie does Jason Statham. Like, that is the Angelina Jolie you want.
That's kind of what I thought she was going to do in this movie. Okay. That's just kind of what I was expecting.
Super fair.
To me, her movie is Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I know it's not a buddy cop movie, but like, there aren't many movies in that lane. Male character, they have a real life relationship, so you want to see how that plays itself out on screen. Mr. and Mrs. Smith is her movie.
Which one are we going to do? I know one is probably too high.
We can find another Angelina Jolie movie.
Because I feel like I'm on an Angelina Jolie kick. Because, you know, you had me earlier.
I do want to know how you go from Billy Bob Thornton to Brad Pitt. Like, I would just love to know, like, that turn of character.
If you want to find out more, there's a few tapes you could maybe do some film study.
All right. You know what? Hey. I think it's a great way to end this podcast.
Yeah, we're going to do another Jolie movie.
We got to. This was another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Do us a favor, like, review, subscribe, do all of those things that podcasters ask you to do. Next week's movie on Tuesday,
doing,
it will be The Cheetah Girls will be our movie next week. Shout out to Raven Simone, shout out to 3LW, The Cheetah Girls 3LW. On Tuesday.
Play us off with some 3LW. Let's go!
Hitmaker.
I don't mind what people say to do.
Nah, nah.
But I do mind what you believe is true. You are the only one getting all my love. Cause
what they do
ain't nothing new.
Players, they gon' play. And haters, they gon' hate. Ballers, they gon' ball. Shot callers, they
don't wanna see me with you.
Nah, nah.
Behind your back, calling myself and paging too. No matter
what they do,
I will stay true only to you, only to you.
Players, they gon'
play. Play.
Mm-hmm. And haters, they gon'
hate.
Ballers, they gon' ball. Shot callers, they gon' call. That ain't got nothing to do.
Nothing to do.
Shot callers, they gonna call.
Morning Show.